Thank you, Blessing and Jonga. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Tuesday, November 3rd, 2015. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Chris Gande.
And I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye.
Here are our top stories this evening.
Anti-riot police officers were deployed in Bulawayo today to curtail violence as tensions simmered ahead of a party primary election seeking a candidate for the Kulumane parliamentary by-election.
My opponent is maybe because of the campaign pressure, somebody feels threatened. And as a result, decided to hire hooligans.
Three Sunday Mail journalists remain behind bars after their arrest yesterday over a story alleging a senior police officer is involved in the poaching of elephants in Wange.
This just is proof of the poisoned operating environment for journalists in Zimbabwe, that the police have even decided to extend the onslaught against journalists.
And unemployed recent university graduates take to volunteerism to serve their communities for free as job prospects remain grim.
These and much more coming up. Stay tuned.
Anti-riot police kept close watch today at Davis Hall, the ZANU-PF provincial headquarters in Bulawayo, to curtail violence as tensions between members of rival factions within the party simmered ahead of a party primary election for Kulumane constituency set to be held tomorrow. This follows President Robert Mugabe's proclamation on Saturday, December 19, as the date for the constituency by-election after the death of MDCT's Tamsanqa Mahlangu last month. Kilion Sibanda, who is said to be aligned to the so-called G40 group in ZANU-PF, is pushing to represent ZANU-PF ahead of former Mayor David Ndlovu, who was the ZANU-PF candidate in 2013 elections and is likely to and is linked to Vice President Emmerson Mnangagwa's faction.
When Studio 7 arrived at the party offices this afternoon, over a dozen anti-riot police officers were watching proceedings at the party offices closely while standing a few meters from the entrance of the party offices. Some police in plain clothes also helped calm the situation and convinced some party members who were wielding placards not to take their protest outside the party premises. The placards were denouncing Sibanda and Provincial Affairs Minister Eunice Sandy Moyo. Some of the posters read, "Kilion must go, we don't need him. No primary elections tomorrow, please. Pansing or Kilion. Sandy, trouble causer. Sandy, go to rest. And Sandy must go." Moyo is accused of using her office to coordinate G40 activities in Matabeleland region, thereby fomenting chaos in the region, and is also said to be backing Sibanda. Studio 7 was not able to reach Moyo for comment.
Some ZANU-PF members who refused to speak on tape for fear of victimization told Studio 7 accused the G40 of using money to buy votes. But members from the opposing camp dismissed the allegations as baseless, charging that they were being made by people who had been outwitted in campaigning. ZANU-PF Bulawayo Provincial Chair Dennis Ndlovu confirmed Sibanda and Ndlovu will contest the party's primary elections tomorrow, but refused to give further details. We reached out to Kilion Sibanda from our Washington studios. We first asked him about what he promised to offer the people of Bulawayo if elected into office.
People will decide, I won't say, but so far so good, but really it depends with the electorate. And again, of all other offerings, is that I also offer to give my services to my people for poverty eradication. We are two candidates.
And you feel you are the best candidate to win the election?
Yes, it is supposed to be like that. From the look of things, yes, I am the best candidate.
And then there is the issue of the riot police, which has been milling around the ZANU-PF offices today, trying to prevent any form of violence ahead of the elections. What do you think? Why do you think, you know, it's like that?
I think he is my opponent. My opponent is because of the campaign pressure. I mean, somebody feels threatened, and as a result, decided to hire hooligans who will then disrupt my attention, and also trying to force. Because the other candidate was trying to force a situation whereby there are no by elections. There are no primary elections. He felt he should be considered first. Then I will have to be considered in the future.
That was ZANU-PF aspiring candidate for Kulumane, Kilion Sibanda, in Bulawayo, speaking with Studio 7 Sandra Nyaira from Bulawayo. David Ndlovu refused to comment, saying he was in a meeting.
The lawyer representing three Sunday Mail journalists arrested yesterday on allegations of publishing and peddling falsehoods says his clients are being forced by the police to reveal the name of a senior police officer they alleged was involved in poaching activities in the Wange National Park. Attorney James Muzangaza of Muzangaza, Mandaza and Tomana Law Firm says the Sunday Mail trio of editor Mabasa Sasa, investigations editor Brian Chitemba and reporter Tinashe Farao are being charged under the Criminal Law Codification Act. The police dismissed the Sunday Mail's lead story at a press conference that alleged a senior officer was working with National Parks rangers to poison elephants with cyanide. Journalists were also appraised of police investigations into the cyanide killings at the press conference. Muzangaza tells reporter Jonga Kandemiri his clients are expected to appear in court tomorrow, but he says he's considering challenging the constitutionality of the statute under which the three scribes have been charged.
They have since been charged with a contravention of Section 31, paragraph A, subparagraph 2 of the Criminal Law Codification and Reform Act, Chapter 9.23, which is basically the publication of falsehood that have got an effect on the economic interests of the country, that is Zimbabwe. They have since had statements recorded from each of them in which they basically deny the charges. They are due to appear at the Harare Magistrate Court tomorrow morning for initial remand or alternatively for placement on remand. That is when we will also apply for bail. Proceedings tomorrow are basically the placement on remand and the application for their admission to bail.
Where are they being currently held?
Right now they are held at Harare Central Police Station. I saw them this morning when I attended for the recording of the warned and cautioned statement. They were all in good spirits. They have no complaints against the police.
Do you think that it's constitutional for the police to arrest the reporters who are doing their job?
We are seriously looking at the possibility of challenging the constitutionality of that statute. There has already been a challenge before the Supreme Court and also the Constitutional Court, the result of which a part of this very same statute was struck down as unconstitutional. And this part that relates to the economic interests of Zimbabwe remained on our law books. But again, anybody can challenge it, and the opportunity has presented itself with the arrest and the charges being brought against these three gentlemen from Zimbabwe newspapers.
That was lawyer James Muzangaza of Muzangaza, Mandaza and Tomana, representing the three Zimpapers journalists who were arrested in Harare. MISA Zimbabwe chairperson Kumbirai Mafunda says the media watchdog is concerned by the continuing attacks on journalists that he says are on the rise.
I think this just is proof of the poisoned operating environment for journalists in Zimbabwe that the police have even decided to extend the onslaught against journalists to the state, to our colleagues at the state media or at the state-run media. As we saw just a couple of weeks ago, the arrest of Sidin Said Obeina Maiti and Kimeti Nyangani. It really worries us, and it's an indication that the operating environment for journalists is still present.
As Mr. Zimbabwe, what are you urging the police to do?
I think there are other alternative avenues to resort to when one is aggrieved. And these alternatives include approaching the Volunteer Media Council of Zimbabwe, and whereby we urge the Zimbabwe Public Police to have taken such a route and table their concerns, their grievances, which can actually, an organization which can actually sort of assist and help. Even the other route which the police took today of convening a media conference was another route which they could have taken and which they have fortunately taken to actually tell the nation what is the status of the situation regarding this issue of poaching in Zimbabwe. So we really felt that they could have taken this route without necessarily having journalists being guests at their police cell.
That was Mr. Zimbabwe Chairperson Gumbirai Mafunda in Harare with reporter Jonga Kandemiri.
Some Zimbabweans in the United States have welcomed the verification process being conducted by the government for pensioners based outside the country at local embassies. Although opinion is divided on the process, Farai Shumba, who lives in California but traveled to Washington to complete the Certificate of Life form to verify his existence, says he's happy with the move as it will eliminate fraudsters. The government notified all Zimbabweans in the United States who are receiving government pensions to complete the verification process at the embassy in Washington or mission in New York. The verification process allows the government to know whether those receiving the pensions are still alive or not. The process will also remove fraudsters who could corruptly be earning where they did not soar. Shumba says this is much better than having to travel to Harare just for the verification process.
We are here because there is a process that the government has set in place for pensioners living in America to come and sign what they are calling certificates of life. This process has been enabled by the simple fact that government seems to be doing an audit of pensioners that are still alive so that we're able to continue collecting our pensions as previously regulated.
What was it like for you coming from California, coming here to Washington, D.C.? Was it not a costly affair?
Well, actually, it was even better than going back home, because before people knew that were able to go to the embassy, there were several that had already traveled to Zimbabwe. But when we got the notice that we could actually do the process here in Washington, it was even better for us, because it is actually cheaper than going to Zimbabwe. And we are so happy. The process is simple, very efficient, and the embassy staff, I should really congratulate them. They exhibited exceptional professionalism, and they have been doing quite a wonderful job.
Take us through the process. What did you have to do to verify that you are still alive and that you can receive your pension?
You were supposed to take your ID and a color photo of yourself. You're given a form to fill and sign. Complete your banking details, and that was it.
That was pensioner Farai Shumba speaking with us here in Washington, D.C.
A group of recent graduates have formed an organization committed to serving their communities for free as they try to be the country's unemployment problem. Known as the Game Changers Group, 19 recent graduates from Bindura State University say this will also allow them to build their skills as they volunteer to save their communities. Reporter Tatenda Gumbo spoke with Adam Tafadzwa Mukushi, group chairperson, about the initiative. Mukushi says their purpose is to build something out of nothing.
Our mission in this group is to save the community. We have realized that there are a lot of social problems in our communities. There are no jobs. The crime rate is rising every day. Prostitution and poverty is increasing. So as recent graduates, we've decided to help where we can through empowering the disadvantaged people using limited resources. Mainly, we try to offer services that just require our presence and skills that we've gained at school.
What kind of services and skills have you or will you be offering to those volunteer efforts?
We want to help youth to do self-help projects, to educate the youth. Today we were at the Anglican Cathedral in Harare, and we gave the youth some lunch as our first initiative.
How challenging has it been for you as recent university graduates in securing jobs?
It's quite a challenge because, as you all know, employment opportunities in Zimbabwe are very limited.
And that was Adam Tafadzwa Mukushi, chairperson of the Game Changers Group, speaking with Studio 7's Tatenda Gumbo from Harare.
You're listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington.
We are broadcasting on 909 Metum Wave and on the 4930 5940 and 15460 shortwave frequencies.
On the internet, find us at www.studio7news.com.
You can also text us at 001-202-465-0318.
Coming up,
farmers say preparations for rainy season are hampered by GMB's failure to pay them.
But first, a look at regional and international news.
Egyptian President Abdel Fattah al-Sisi has dismissed as propaganda claims by Islamic State insurgents that they brought down a Russian jetliner that crashed into the Sinai Peninsula, killing all 224 people aboard.
Just weeks after his release from prison into house arrest, South African athlete Oscar Pistorius again faces a legal challenge as prosecutors try to convince judges that he should be found guilty of the charge of murder for killing his girlfriend.
And German police today raided the headquarters of the country's football federation and the homes of three current and former high-ranking officials over possible wrongdoings in connection with Germany's hosting of 2006 World Cup.
The introduction of low-cost airlines that ply Zimbabwe routes in the region and internally have been welcomed by passengers who want ticket prices to go down. But at the same time, some are wondering whether the airlines will not go the same way that others like them have gone in the past after failing to stay afloat. Previously, such low-budget airlines priced themselves off the market. The two regional airlines that have been introduced to Zimbabwe's airspace are Fly Africa and FastJet, which have headquarters in South Africa and Tanzania, respectively. Fly Africa, however, has already suspended flights after its license was cancelled because of allegations of misappropriating of funds. The company, however, says the missing money is a technical error that is being rectified. Both airlines could not be reached for comment, with FastJet asking for questions to be put in writing and no response had been received at the time of going on air. In the past, other airlines like Zex and Flykumba folded after a few months of operating. Some passengers who have used a FastJet airline said they were happy because they only paid $38 for a flight from Harare to the resort town of Victoria Falls, compared to Air Zimbabwe's $100 to $170 fares. We reached economic commentator Masimbaku Chera, who says the economic impact of the new airlines is likely to be felt after some time.
It's a good thing for the economy, but it will not yield immediate results. It will yield results probably after a couple of years if it is allowed to continue.
Don't you think that because of the low fares that they are charging, they might find themselves out of business, like what has happened before?
I think this is just a promotional phase. Actually, the promotional phase that I think will not last for very long. A trip to Terra Falls from Harare costing $38 is sexy. But when you look at FastJet, they tried to introduce that model to Tanzania, and it seems to be working for them in Tanzania. So they are hoping that maybe if they use Zimbabwe as a springboard for all its advantages, then they could penetrate either the South African or Botswana market, which they think maybe there is more money there, but they'll start it from Zimbabwe. I don't think it will last. So if they want to go to such a ridiculously low fare, they need to go now. Otherwise, that will change probably in the next 3 months or so.
Would you see these emerging airlines driving Air Zimbabwe out of business?
Well, Air Zimbabwe is technically right now out of business. The government has decided not to protect Air Zimbabwe anymore, and they wanted to engineer more routes. But I think what Air Zimbabwe could do is to probably partner with some of these airlines if they want to remain viable. But technically what it means is that the business model that Air Zimbabwe has adopted of having a top-heavy management and boards and not investing in the locomotive is what is bringing it down.
That was independent economic commentator Masimba Kuchera. He spoke to Studio 7 on the line from Harare.
Elsewhere, the Grain Marketing Board's failure to pay farmers for grain delivered to its silos around the country is affecting preparations for the 2015-2016 farming season, with some farmers already dismissing the farming season as another failure. Patricia Mudadigwa reports.
With just a few weeks before the onset of the rains for the cropping season, farmers who spoke to Studio 7 said the Grain Marketing Board, which has the monopoly of buying grain from farmers across the country, has incapacitated them and they cannot go back to the fields. Sarah Mindu, a Shirugi farmer, said, by now should have dry planted some of her grains as she been paid by the GMB. Mindu says she's stranded as she has no money to buy inputs.
I'm not motivated anymore to send my grain at GMB just because I've not been given my money since last year. They are giving me minor reasons. So I don't have money to buy seed and fertilizer, which is a very big problem, yet they've got my money of last year.
Chipo Gandiwa, a resettled farmer from Churumans, told Studio 7 that the GMB's failure to pay farmers on time, coupled with climate change conditions, will cause Zimbabwe to be in perennial hunger.
I walk a long distance to our GMB, but they are just telling us that the money is not there. So I am very angry, because I have no seeds, I have no fertilizer.
Amon Mabikwa, another farmer from Churumanzu, said they were failing to make ends meet. He cannot even pay school fees for his children.
Some of us are full-time farmers, and this is the money that we use to buy inputs. We are compromised when we are not getting paid. In other words, it doesn't make sense to keep on delivering our grain to the GMB because it's not paying. I struggled to raise exam fees for my kids, and at this time I don't have money for buying inputs.
Agronomist Dennis Mbofana told Studio 7 that the GMB should have found alternative means of ensuring that farmers adequately prepare for the 2015-2016 farming season.
I think it's a sad situation what is being done by the Grain Marketing Board, because as you can appreciate, farmers are now supposed to prepare for 2015-2016 season, and most of these farmers that grow maize will be basing on such funds. So I think the Grain Marketing Board is supposed to avail funds to the farmers so that they start preparing for the 2015-2016 season. Even if they don't have the money, they can maybe have an alternative of giving them inputs, fertilizer, and the seed for them to plant and prepare for the next season.
Bofana further explained that the country will not be able to produce enough for the nation if GMB continues to shortchange them.
The other thing that you also need to factor in is the issue of climate change. So the earlier, the better. The earlier the farmers plant their crops, the better. So the delay is very bad, and which might lead to hunger in the next coming year. So the GMB need to act now.
Earlier this month, Agriculture, Mechanization and Development Minister Joseph Made said the government had started mobilizing resources to pay the farmers.
Treasury has instructed, that is the Minister of Finance, working together with the Reserve Bank, are already mobilizing resources for this week, so that we start paying the farmers for the maize and small grains that have already been delivered to the Grain Marketing Board.
But farmers are still to receive their payments. Despite the promises and with a plummeting economy, there are no indications that anything is being done to do with their plight. The GMB owes farmers about 15 million for grain delivered during the 2014-2015 agricultural season. According to the World Food Programme, Zimbabwe produced much less maize in 2014-2015 agricultural season compared to the previous year due to drought, which was particularly severe in the south of the country. According to a report published in July 2015 by the Zimbabwe Vulnerability Assessment Committee, some 1.5 million, 16% of the rural population, will have insufficient means to meet their minimum food needs during the 2015-2016 lean season. Farmers said, with the GMB failing to meet its obligation to pay them on time, the hunger situation in the country is not likely to improve anytime soon. Reporting for Studio 7 in Harare, this is Patricia Mdadigwa.
Meanwhile, experts say Zimbabwe is likely to face a worse drought next year because a complex weather pattern, El Nino, is brewing in the tropical Pacific Ocean and is likely to make a devastating impact on the African sub-region later this year or early next year, bringing excess rain and drought. Weather agencies worldwide have predicted that this year's El Nino will be the worst and is already being blamed for the scorching heat that has affected most parts of Zimbabwe. We spoke to agricultural expert Mandla Nkomo.
Look, Chris, I think we are in for a tough time. I think it's what they call in English a perfect storm. Because on the one side, I think the weather is not going to be playing ball with us with El Nino. But at the same time, I think, you know, for you to mitigate against the risk of something like El Nino, everything else needs to be in order. There has to be sufficient seed in the country. There has to be sufficient fertilizer. You've got to have all your implements and everything in place. And I believe that as a country, we're a little bit lacking when it comes to preparedness for what is promising to be a difficult season.
And when you look at the availability of seed, maize, fertilizer, and so forth, do you think it's adequate?
No, definitely not. I mean, you must remember, I think we mentioned earlier that companies like Sable Chemicals, who produce most of our ammonium nitrate in the country, are actually cutting back stuff. What that will definitely do is mean that there will be a shortage of nitrogen-based fertilizers. And because of that, you know, it's putting us under a lot of pressure when you consider that most of our maize in the country comes from Ashonaland and the Midlands. And those places, you can't really grow maize without applying fertilizer.
That was agricultural expert Mandla Nkomo. He spoke to Studio 7 on the line from Johannesburg, South Africa.
Stay tuned for Studio 7 Live Talk at 8:30 p.m. when our host on the Youth Connection will lead discussions about graduates and unemployment.
Our number is 001-202-465-0318.
Now to recap on today's top stories.
Anti-riot police officers were deployed in Bulawayo today to curtail violence as tensions are simmered ahead of a party primary election seeking a candidate for the Nkulumane parliamentary by-election.
Three Sandemeo journalists remain behind bars after their arrest yesterday over a story alleging a senior police officer is involved in the poaching of elephants in Wange.
And unemployed recent university graduates take to volunteering to serve their communities for free as job prospects remain grim.
That's our broadcast this evening. I'm Marvelous Mhlanganyahuye.
Now stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele with Praxedis Jeremiah PJ. This is Chris Gande in Washington, D.C. Good night, Zimbabwe.